Accession number 17965, Sergeant Major Frederick Beadle, reel 15.
Sergeant Major Beadle, reel 15. I think you were saying that 4th Battalion RASC had clerical duties.
Yes. To the best of my knowledge, yes.
What about the background of the commanding officer? Had he always been in the RASC?
That I don't know. I should imagine he would have been there because he was a colonel.
Yes.
I'm sure he would have been with the RSC all his serving time. His serving time actually ran out with the disbandment of Number 4 Battalion.
What was the sort of age structure of the battalion? Were they all young men or were they
mixed? They were all ages comparable to an infantry unit. As far as I'm concerned, there's young and old together.
Were the soldiers as keen as the colonel?
On the whole, yes. I don't know if you know, but in those days, just following the war, there was quite a few battalions of RASC, which were cut down to size very quickly afterwards, of course. But each battalion, they worked it out. If any professional footballers came in, the professional footballers went to, I think it was Number 3 Battalion, that was in Aldershot at that particular time. Any good hockey players, they would go to another battalion. Any good cross-country runners, go to another battalion. This was one way of the RSC Corps trying to win all the various trophies that went on in the Army at that point in time.
Who did you get in Number 4 Battalion?
Pardon?
Who did you get in Number 4 Battalion?
No, we were cross-country.
You were cross-country?
That's right. But then they used to organise once a year inter-football competition between the RSC battalions. And we weren't a football battalion, but the 3 battalion, I think it was, the RSC was the football ones. They had a couple of professionals that played for them, so they won everything in the football line. Prior to the competition coming in one year while I was there, the commanding officer had a word with me and said he wanted to win the football with what we'd got, which wasn't very much really, but we really put up a good show, or the lads did who played the football. We only lost 1-0 against the team, which pleased him immensely. But at Blackdown we were very favourably positioned for the cross country, because the cross country runs of that around the area, as you know. While I was there, although it was only a short period of time, I organised the cross-country run, inter-battalion cross-country run, in battalion football.
What sort of distance did they have to go when they went on a cross-country run?
It varied. The shortest one would be 3 miles, I suppose. The average run about 7 miles. And of course, you know, the marathon goes up to about 26. It just depended, really.
Was there a lot of interest in marathon running?
No, very little. Too long.
What about walking? Did you do any of that? Was that a recognised sport?
Funnily enough, there was no walking competitions whatsoever while I was in the army. Perhaps they thought that a soldier did enough walking without going into sport for it. I don't know. But we never organised that.
And how did you, again, was there anything about what you did at Blackdown that was different to what you'd been doing previously?
No, not at all. As far as my job was concerned with the PT, PT was PT, whether it was a guards regiment or whether it was a boys' company. It was exercise to do them good, and that's how we carried it out.
What staff did you have at Blackdown?
About six, I think. Six assistant instructors. I didn't have a PT Corps instructor with me at that time. It was RASC Lance Corporal appointed assistant instructor.
Have you no idea what size the battalion was?
Not really, but I can imagine it was something like 800, round about that sort of figure. It might have been a little bit less, might have been a bit more, but I can't think it was more. I would think that would be about it. I think they'd probably been starving the battalion of troops anyway for a bit, in the knowledge that it was going to be disbanded. So it was a bit of a difficult time to estimate how many were here, there or anywhere, really.
You said that when your time at Blackdown came to an end, you were poached by the RASC and
yes.
went off to Buller
yes.
Barracks at Aldershot. How did that happen?
I did mention this at a previous meeting we had, but I had arranged to stay in Blackdown with the new battalion that was coming in. It was coming home from Germany and stationed in Blackdown.
Who were they going to be?
I can't remember the regiment now, to be quite honest with you. But what happened was the commanding officer of the RASC, 4th Battalion RASC, brought the commanding officer of the battalion coming in round to see the gymnasium, and it was while he was there I was able to put in my preference to stay there, which was granted. Then, lo and behold, one commanding officer of 4th Battalion had words with the commanding officer of 1 Battalion, Buller Barracks, and they both came into my gyms and told me that they'd arranged for me to go to Buller. I wasn't very happy about doing that, but it was a backhand sort of way of saying they wanted me because I was going to do a good job or something. So I didn't like to refuse it. I was very pleased that I went there, actually, because it was the sort of job that I liked doing. I had every rank, more or less, go through the gymnasium, because what happened at Buller, they ran courses for the RASC trades, and you would have NCOs, officers, coming through the courses, and also we had cadets there. They would go through Sandhurst, then they'd have to come to Buller to do their corps training before they were commissioned. So literally we had boys' company there as well, so we had every rank going through the gymnasium, which meant that I sorted out what I thought was benefit to each one individually. For instance, the boys' company, they do PTN, as far as I was concerned, where I could fit it in games. Whereas officers, which could be any rank, I would concentrate on teaching them how to teach PT, how to organise games, so that when they went back to their companies, wherever they might be stationed, as you know, they were only small companies that they were in charge of, they could organise games and keep the lads going. So it was the sort of job I really liked doing, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
How old were the boys?
Boys in those days were over 14 and under 17 and a half, if I remember rightly. Again, my memory doesn't serve me right. I got mixed up a bit there because I was a boy myself, and when I was a boy, the age group was from 14 to 18. You became a man at 18, but I feel sure it was 17 or 17 and a half. That the boys went on to man service in the RASC.
How did the boy of 1952 compare with you, you know, the boy of 1929? Did you find that their outlook and behaviour and ideas and so on were similar to what yours had been when you were a boy in the army, or had things changed?
Boys are boys wherever they are and wherever they go. I should imagine if you went back to the boys' company now and watch them for a week, there wouldn't be much difference. You've got quite a lot of them get up to all the mischief that's imaginable. You've got to be a step ahead of them all the time. A very interesting job looking after boys, because at 14, they're still children, really. Well, of course, it's not 14 now. they wouldn't go in there until they were 16, I suppose, with the school leaving age being 16. But it was quite an interesting job.
Did they get up to the same sort of mischief as you'd got up to?
Absolutely.
What sort of things were they getting up to?
Well, for instance, I had a habit of now and again having to walk round the barrack rooms in the evening to see what they were up to. And we were in a upstairs barrack room as well as downstairs in Buller Barracks. I was going through the downstairs part of the platoon. I heard this banging going on upstairs. I went up there. What they were doing, they had locked a chap in his tin wardrobe, and they were doing it over and over down the gymnasium, so that the chap was in one place on his head, the other place on his feet. Very dangerous, but they got away with it, the sort of thing they got up to.
What sort of numbers were you getting in the boys' company?
I would say about 120, something like that.
These would all be volunteers, wouldn't they?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Was there a steady flow of boys coming in?
Yes, there was. We were never short of numbers. Yes, there was a good steady flow coming in, I would say. You do get a dropouts system from boys, of course. They'll come in and they're 6 months and it really is their cup of tea and they make a nuisance of themselves or they break down and cry. You've got to be up to everything, really.
Were they generally healthy and fit when they turned up?
Most of them were, yeah. They were excellent and I really enjoyed taking the boys because, again, with sport, they were very keen on sport, there's no doubt about it. So you never wanted in that respect.
Was there any sport that they particularly favoured?
Well, naturally, football, I would say. But they had a go at everything. Football would be their favourite. I suppose their second favourite, we used to do basketball. Basketball came into fashion at that in that particular time. Nothing over and above the football. Anything else they welcomed and they did their best at, I think.
Now this sounds like it's quite a large and varied unit at Buller. What staff did you have there?
Well, PT course staff.
Yes.
Oh, it was just me.
Just you.
Yeah. I had assistant instructors there in Buller, which would have been the same as most other units. I had 4 assistant instructors.
Were the courses generally of a standard length, or did they vary?
The RSC courses in Buller?
Yes.
They varied a bit. I suppose the longest one was probably the cadets. Offhand like that, I couldn't remember exactly how long each course took. So I don't think I could give a sensible answer on that. But I do think that the cadets probably did longer than anybody else.
Now, I think you're also saying that you were transferred from PT Corps to RESC. Were you recap badged? Did you become an RESC member? Or did you remain PT Corps?
I remained PT Corps there.
Yes.
Until, can't tell you the date offhand, but I've mentioned this before in our previous talk, whereas the PT Corps had a promotion block and they wouldn't accept any more signings on, although I would like to have signed on, I was due to finish with the Army on the 10th of October 19... Where are we? 44? No.
54 it would be. Would it be? So I think you went to Buller in 1952.
Yeah. About 1953 then, possibly. I was due to finish. Where are we? 18... 20. I'm sorry, I can't remember the dates offhand. But as I say, I was due to finish with the army, and I was looking around for a suitable job to go to. And I was approached by the company commander of Boy's Company, who said he would like me to take over the company sergeant major in the RASA of the Boy's Company. This meant that all I did was to change cap badge. One day I was PT Corps, the next day I was RASC, company sergeant major of their Boy's Company.
What did you have to do as their company sergeant major? What new things did you have to do?
Well, there was nothing new for me anyway, because I'd already done near enough 10 years in an infantry battalion, so I knew my infantry drill and what have you. I've done 13 years or something in the PT Corps, so I know all about PT and games. It sounds a bit boasting to say that, but after 13 years you should do. So there was nothing new really for me to learn. A sergeant major of a company in those days was the same as a sergeant major's job in any other company in any other day, pre-war, during the war, or after the war.
Was your main role discipline, or was it organisation, do you think?
A little bit of each, really. I still organised the intercompany games. It was something I took off the hands of the incoming PT Corps man. Drill, of course. Discipline.
What were the boys doing when they were not doing drill or doing PT or games? What were they, how were they occupied?
They were fully occupied because they went to school each day. So they had a period there. They went to PT. They did their drill, whichever the drill it was. Might be foot drill, arms drill, or what have you. You know, games period. So they were fully occupied. There was no doubt about it.
What about specifically trade training? Did they do a lot of that?
No, they didn't. I think, again, my memory is playing games with me, but I think the system there was they would be selected where there was for where there was a vacancy and for where the company commander thought they were... would do best at, whether it be a driving company, a clerical company, rations company. They dealt with all the ration side of things. So they would be selected where there was a vacancy and what was considered to be their best role in the RASC.
Did you have any trouble with the discipline?
None at all. No more than I expected from my own experience as a boy, and no less.
What sort of punishments were applied to offenders in the Boys' Company?
Exactly the same as any other company, whether they be boys or privates or NCOs or what have you. They'd be trotted up in front of the company commander for company commander's orders. Too serious for the company commander to deal with, they were transferred over to the commanding officer, who would have the ability to give them more punishment than the company commander would. That went on throughout the army.
Were there any particularly prevalent offences amongst the boys? Were there any prevalent offences? Things they tended to do?
No, not really, no.
How long did you stay in the RASC?
About 18 months or 2 years, I think. What happened was a job cropped up, which I felt was suitable for me. And I applied for it. The only reason I did that was I had children of my own who were coming up to school age. And I thought that by leaving the army, they would have a better education than what they would have stayed in the army, because they don't stay in one place very long. So it was only a short period of time that I was with the RASC.
Did you have any resettlement training before you left?
No. No, I got a job as a transport foreman for Courage's Brewery in Alton, which really was right up my alley, except that I had no idea of what civil life was all about. Somebody had passed the word on in the brewery that a sergeant major was coming along, so you could well imagine they were well prepared for me.
How did they greet you when you arrived?
Not very well. They weren't over friendly, there's no doubt about it. It was a bad situation, really, on reflection, because, as I say, somebody slipped the word, they knew it was a sergeant major just leaving the army coming along. Most of them had served during the war and didn't have any love for sergeant majors.
Did you manage to overcome that feeling?
Oh, yes, after a period of time. I found it very, very difficult being used to giving a chap an order and the job being carried out, and then giving a chap an order who wants to discuss it before he's going to carry it out. That was the sort of situation you transfer everyone to another. So for the first 6 months or so, I wasn't over happy, let's say it that way, with the job, because it was a bit difficult.
Now, some people say that they never really readjusted to civil life, having been in the army. Do you think that you eventually managed to adjust fully to being a civilian?
No.
You didn't?
Never have done.
You remain a soldier?
Yeah. I would think people knowing me, and I only act very ordinary, I don't say much about the army or anything, I only say anything about the army if I'm questioned about it. But I reckon they would know I was an ex-soldier, probably by the way I look or speak, I don't know. But as far as I'm concerned, it has been the main job of my life, really.
What are the advantages of military service, do you think?
Of being?
What are the advantages of military service, of having been a soldier?
I don't really see any great advantages. You've got the same opportunity as a person who's been in his civil life all his life as you have got somebody in the army. The only thing is that you accept orders a bit more freely than the average chap who's never been in the forces.
Are there any disadvantages to having been a serviceman?
No. No, I would think, speaking at it from a wide field, there is probably more advantages than disadvantages. Because employers, providing a chap comes out of the army with a good record, are more inclined to accept an ex-serviceman than they are a chap who's been in civil life all his time. Very little. But I think that attitude would be there. If there were two people applying for one job, if one was an ex-serviceman with a good record, he would probably get it over and above chap who'd been a civilian all his life.
When you were preparing to receive prisoners of war in Egypt, do you know where they were coming from?
Yes, I do. They were coming from Russian country. They were embarked to Odessa. The idea was for them to embark there, sail along as far as Alexander, leave Alexander, and go home. They formed the camp there, as I said before.
But they never arrived.
If they arrived in Alexander, there was no transport to carry them on from there, then they had a camp all ready to go into and be occupied and looked after.
Over the years, you had a lot of experience of service life and observing the behaviour of soldiers. What is it, do you think, that makes a good soldier? What are the essential qualities?
A chap is more likely to be a good soldier, I think, if he can accept all orders for what they are, and more important than anything else, he's got a decent sense of humour.
Do you think that soldiers are born or made? Is it a matter of inborn qualities, or is it a matter of training?
Well, I would say training, really, because you get all sorts of types in the army as you do anywhere else. And you could reckon that when they first come into the army, an assessment is made of them in an instructor's mind. He will do well, or he will do well. And he could be quite wrong. At the end of the course, he could be an opposite type of chap.
What about officers? What did you expect from officers?
Well, always in a position to set an example. Full stop.